Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Welcome to
Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. And on Revolutionary Life, if you're new here, you're just now tuning in, the first time tuning in, that kind of thing. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I'll be your host most of those times. And tonight, also, if you're new here, all of our shows are archived. And so if you cannot stay for the entire show or listen to the entire show, you can simply, in an hour from now, you can simply catch this show on demand, because all of our shows will be appearing on our site. If you're on our site, you can scroll down and you'll see that all of we have an on-demand section where you will find this show and all of our previous shows. So don't worry if you can't stick around. Don't worry if you missed it. You can always go back and get it. And guys, we also have a Facebook page called Revolutionary Life, also by the same name. You might want to trip over there and take a look at the site, that page. And leave any questions or comments that you have. You can also leave those questions and comments there on that page. I'll get those as well. This is a call-in show. So at a certain point, I'll be announcing our call-in show period, time that I've set aside for call-ins. And I'll give out that phone number. And I'll open my chat room. And I'll be monitoring both. You call me, you go on to the air directly. And if you put anything in my chat, I'll be monitoring the chat. I'll be responding to comments, suggestions, etc., that are added to our chat room. All right. And so, guys, tonight, and okay, one more thing for you new guys. I'm sorry. One more thing for the new guys is that you're going to hear topics here on Revolutionary Life. Maybe topics you've heard in other places by other people, other times. That's not why we're here, to cover topics everybody else has covered other days, other times. We're here to cover all the topics that affect our lives, yours and mine, every day, all day, directly and indirectly. And since revolution is just change, we see a lot of things that affect our lives every day that need to be changed, that must be changed. And the revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard, that's all, of that change. Change is inevitable, too. They tell me that's one thing constant, is change. Well, we want to be on the vanguard of that change, not on the back end. And so if you're on the front of change, you might have something to say with how it looks, how it's shaped when it comes down. All right? And we keep our fingers on the pulse, and we try to seek some clarity in all of these subjects. In order to move forward, we need to be clear. So we're here to get clear. In every sense of the word. Tonight, on Revolutionary Life, the topic we're covering tonight is entitled Astrology and Horoscopes. I don't know if you believe in that stuff. I don't know if you read your horoscope every day. I'm sure it's out there. Everywhere. I don't know if you know what sign you are, what zodiac sign you are, and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know if it, I want to talk about whether it matters tonight. And whether astrology today is what it was in ancient times, because it's been around a long time. So let's see. We're going to get into this science, I guess you call it, of astrology and this concept of horoscopes. All right? It's not a lightweight subject in a sense, in any sense, to tell the truth. A lot of people depend on it, read it, study it, all that kind of stuff. And so, are you guided by your horoscope? by your sign? Do you read your sign? And does that change your life in any way? I don't know. A lot of people do, obviously. And so that's why we're talking about it tonight. I have friends and I have relatives who possibly check out their horoscopes. I have friends and relatives who it's against their religion to seek astrology and things like that. But they still do. They still do. All right, guys. That's where we're at tonight. I want you, if you know anybody who's into astrology and horoscopes, and they might want to hear this, there's a share button on our site. You can hit share, and you can share this show with them. Yes, you can. And there's a follow button on there as well. You can click that follow button, and you'll be made aware. You'll be notified when we are live, when we're on the air. All right. I want you to think about that. Do you know people who religiously read their horoscopes? Or casually, do you know what your sign is, or do you care? Do you think it makes any difference? There is a science called astronomy, but why is there a science called astrology? And what's that really about? All right? I want you to think about that. I'm going to give you a little music. We'll be right back, and we're going to delve. We're going to get deep. We're going to get clear about this stuff. We need to be. I'm going to give you some music. I'll be right back. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm your host, Gary. And tonight, guys, tonight here on Revolutionary Life, we're taking a revolutionary look at astrology and horoscopes and birth signs and sun signs and moon signs and all that good stuff. I'm not an astrologer. I don't pretend to be one. And I don't follow horoscopes. But I have loads of friends and relatives and the like who do. All right? And so it's worth talking about today for a couple of reasons. I am concerned for a couple of reasons about this art or the science. And maybe you should be too. And maybe you should be too. Even if you don't follow all that. Let me tell you why. Here's the point, guys. Now, I've heard some people who don't believe in horoscopes and birth signs and sun signs, right? And they say, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Pick the wrong sign. Let's say you are Cancer. Well, for the next week, assume that you are Scorpio. Let's say this one, just as an experiment, choose a different sign. Say I'm going to be a Scorpio this week, and I'm going to read the Scorpio horoscope as my own. Even though you're classified as your sun sign or your birth sign or whatever, it's classified as Cancer. All right. They tell me that that's all you have to do is switch signs one day and read those other horoscopes for that new sign that you switched to. And you'll find out that it's pretty much the same thing as your sign. That is all very general, first of all, because the hook is, if you really want to know your horoscope and your future and your destiny and all that good stuff, if you really want to know, you have to get yourself a personal reading. Those usually cost money. You have to find somebody who will sit down with you and do one-on-one personal charts. They're right there, do your own astrological chart. And they'll do your own personal reading just for you and you only. Anything you read in the newspaper on horoscopes, you know, Scorpio, Cancer, whatever, your horoscope for today. Admittedly, it's not yours. It's general. It has to cover everybody who fell up under that sign that day and read their horoscope that day. So it has to cover everybody. So, and some of these people who read your horoscopes and whatnot, they admit to you that this is a general reading. It may not apply to you, just in case. So there's a lot of backup there, just in case it's wrong, that it don't fit you. Well, it makes sense, I guess, if it's a general horoscope. And it could cover a lot of Cancers or Scorpios out there. But if you really want to get down to your little personal horoscope, your personal life, not everybody else's who fell under that sign, you have to get yourself a private, personal reading. And, of course, that costs a little money. And the deeper you get, the more money you got to spend to get your personal information. And of course, after you do all that, I guess you might as well start following it, look into it for advice and whatnot, you spend all that money. I don't know. But they admit that horoscopes are general. And those people who are against horoscopes, some of them said, just pick the wrong horoscope one day. Pick the one that's not yours and follow that one. You'll find out there ain't a whole lot of difference. So it doesn't mean anything to those folks because it could be for anybody, for anything, anytime. We all have good days. We all have bad days. We have good days and bad days on the same day. I didn't have a bad day because I was a Scorpio, and you didn't have a good day because you were Cancer. You know what I mean? So, and then we all have fortune. We all meet somebody. All these things can occur in everyone, in every sign's life. And then you look at the traits of different signs. Well, a Scorpio likes this, a Scorpio dislikes that. Well, read a different sign. They say, pretend you are a different sign than you are. And they say you'll find out that there's some of the things that other signs like that you like. There's some positive traits that other signs have that you have. You could easily be that sign. You could just about be any sign. From one time to another. And so, those folks say horoscopes are a waste of time. And you know what? I agree. I agree because I've tried that. And you try it. Just pick the wrong sign sometimes. And the only excuse is, well, these are general readings. If you want a specific reading, aha, you got to come see me, the horoscope person. You got to let me do your personal chart and your personal reading. Then we can get down to the nitty gritty about just you and nobody else. Well, I haven't done that yet. All right. Everybody, I can see. I can understand. I did a presentation, and you guys, like I said, everything we do is on demand in our on-demand section. All of our stuff is archived. We did a whole presentation on gambling. And it was called Nobody Likes to Gamble. Nobody. Especially the house. Anyway, so the idea was in that presentation is everybody want an edge. Everybody want a tip off. Everybody want inside information. Everybody wants a heads up. Everybody want to know what's going to happen before it happens. Everybody want to be telepathic, not telepathic or... Yeah, or clairvoyant. They want to see the future. They want to know the future. All right? That's like getting a heads up on things because you don't want to leave things to chance. Everybody does that. If it wasn't true, you couldn't sell Lucky Charms and amulets and prayers and sprays and incense to bring you money and affirmations to bring you money. Everybody wants that edge. Everybody wants to get a head start, a head up, an inside information. And so a horoscope telling your future, telling you what your day is going to be like, telling you what your week is going to be like, telling you what June or July is going to hold for you, and all those good things, is kind of like a way of hedging your bet. Okay, now I know what tomorrow is going to entail. So I better prepare for that. And they tell me that everybody from presidents to kings and queens have had astrologers. Adolf Hitler of Germany, from what I understand, had a personal astrologer. President Ronald Reagan's wife had a personal astrologer. So all the way up to the highest of the echelons, there are people who you would think, if this was fake, would know better, but yet they ascribe to astrology, the stars, the planets, and their positions, and it's their influences, et cetera. Let's talk about that, guys. I don't know about horoscopes and telling the future. I do know that everybody wants a heads up. Everybody wants an edge. Everybody wants that little head start, that inside knowledge, right? But horoscopes may not be the way to go. On the other hand, guys, you know, as per the examples I gave, most of them are general. You have to pay to get a specific one. And they tell me you can just change horoscopes and you'll find out that anybody's horoscope could be yours. Same traits, same positive, negative traits, that kind of thing. Well, guys, anybody's fine. Here's my concern here, and here's what I like to clarify. There's a difference, whether you know it or not, there's a difference between fortune telling, horoscopes, what tomorrow is going to be, what next month's going to be like for you. There's a difference between horoscopes, fortune telling, and the like, in the science called astrology. Right? Though I'm not an adherent of horoscopes, there's something to be said here, guys, about astrology. And I'm going to say it. There's something to be said about astrology, separate from horoscopes and fortune telling, that's, I think, is important. Something to be said for astrology. I'm going to say what that something is. But first, I'm going to give you a little music. But I'll be right back. And we're going to talk about astrology, not horoscope. Astrology. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. Right here on Blog Talk Radio, Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight here on Revolutionary Life, we're going to deal with the question of astrology and horoscopes and things like that. I got friends and relatives. You may have friends and relatives. You may delve into astrology and then the birth signs and the sun signs and the moon signs and horoscopes and traits and whatnot. All right? Well, let's talk about that, guys. We already talked a little bit about horoscopes before we took a break. A lot of people against horoscopes says you can prove it's not working, because prove it's not real. All you got to do is pick the wrong horoscope and read that for a couple of days, and you'll find out it's just like yours. It could easily be yours, your horoscope. It's not specific one person to another. And most people who read horoscopes, who do horoscopes, will let you know that these are general readings. They're not specific just to you, but they are supposedly specific to the sign that you were born, that all of y'all who were born during that time fell under. So everybody, whatever your walk of life is, wherever you are, these horoscopes are supposed to refer to your life, but they can't be for everybody, so it's general. You literally have to go get a personal sit-down one-on-one kind of thing to get your birth charts and all that good stuff. However, guys, let's get down to it. Astrology is two sciences in one. Astronomy, we all hear about astronomy. You can take astronomy in college, right? Where you learn about the movement of the stars and the planets and the distances they are apart and how fast light travels from one to another and how many planets there are and what they look like and what they are made up of and all that good stuff. So astronomy will take you out there and talk to you about the planets, right? Astronomy. And then there's a different science, biology. Now, biology is just about living things, bio, living life on earth, right? Living things, the science of life, living organisms, biology. Now, you have to understand, astrology is very old, ancient. In the temple of Dendera, in ancient Egypt, you will find that since the time of ancient Egypt, there was an astrological map of the stars, complete with zodiac signs, in the ceiling of a temple in Egypt, in an area called Dendera. It's there right now. It's been there for centuries, for millennia, thousands of years. So the ancient Babylonians practiced astrology. Mm-hmm. Now, they even say that Stonehenge and other ancient monolithic metalithic sites have some arrangement with the summer solstice and the winter solstice, with some arrangement with the stars, with the arrangements of stars in the heavens. Right? Some of us can grasp that. If you're an agricultural society, for instance, if you depend on rain, things that you don't control, if you're an agricultural society, you depend on the rain and you want to know the patterns of flooding, flood systems and raining systems and droughts and that kind of thing, if you can find a pattern that the stars are in a certain position, it's a certain time of year that it rains, you can grow your crops based on those patterns. So farmers always look to the sky. You don't have to be an astronomer, an astrologer, a horoscope person, or anything else. If you farmed, if you're an agricultural person, you want to know which way the wind blowing. You want to know the weather. You finna plant. You want to know the best time to plant. You want to know when the Nile is going to flood, when the river is going to flood. If it floods periodically, if it floods by pattern, if there's cyclical flooding, if winter comes every 12 months and you know what those 12 months are, you can plan, right? Well, as the years go by, you can, if you're watching the sky, you can plan. You see a pattern. A farmer, an agricultural person, this by necessity is watching the sky. Is it going to rain? Are there clouds? Is my crop going to get enough rain? I don't control the rain. I don't know who do. And so you look to the sky. Is this the year we have a drought? You look at the history that's been recorded, and you see if there's a drought every 5 or 10 years in your area. You see if the Nile floods once a year around a certain month, and you plan for that month. You in nature, as an ag person, an agricultural person, and most people lived in an agricultural life for many, many centuries before factories and big cities. And so it's not uncommon, guys. Let's face it, that agricultural people, which the world was mostly made up of for many, many centuries, watched the sky, paid attention to the sky, learned the patterns of the sky, or take a chance on losing their crops if they didn't time it properly. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you something in my own life, my personal life. I had a very, very religious family. I had a very religious grandmother. She carried a Bible with everywhere she went. She went to church every Sunday, mostly, and spoke from the Bible. And she could chapter and verse. She could read you chapter and verse right off the top of her head. And so, however, she also had another book in our house when she stayed with us. She had a farmer's almanac. Now, clearly her religion tells her don't bother with soothsayers and astrologers and things like that. She's a good Christian. And Christians don't supposed to get into stuff like that. But she did. She opened up the farmer's almanac. And you know what that almanac told her? That almanac told her which... She had a garden outside, right? And so when she planted her tomatoes, she would look to the farmer's almanac. And it told her which moon phase. She's a good Christian. But when she got ready to plant her tomatoes, she would look into the farmer's almanac, and it would tell her which time of day, which phase of the moon to plant her tomatoes. If you guys are familiar with the farmer's almanac and you open it up, man, it's got astronomy and astrology all mixed up in there. And it's mostly for farmers. It's called a Farmer's Almanac. So just as I was saying, when you lived in mostly an agricultural world, which we all lived in, I guess, which most people lived in the old days, even in this country, it's mostly agricultural, right, for a long time, plantations, you know, farms. Most people lived on a farm. And we watched the sky. So it was normal, would you say, that farmers and agricultural people would be concerned about the stars in the sky or the clouds in the sky or the sun or the droughts and the season changing and the changing of the seasons and that kind of thing. So it's normal that they would get into these patterns. My grandmother would tell you, plant those tomatoes before a full moon, they're not going to grow big and fluffy. Not going to be big, nice tomatoes. What did she consult to know that? She consulted the Farmer's Almanac, and she looked at all the phases of the moon. Do you look at the phases of the moon? Are you concerned? Does it concern you at all as a city person, as a person who maybe lives in an urban area who doesn't require, you know, who not agriculture, so you don't worry about whether your crop is going to get rain this year or it's going to be a drought this year or whatever. And so you may not care about what phase the moon is in tonight. If you were an agricultural person, you might care. You might pick up the farmers, if you are a farmer, you might pick up the Farmer's Almanac. And whether you're a Christian, a Jew, or a Buddhist, you might pick up the Farmer's Almanac. And you might use it to decide when to plant, based on the phases of the moon, let's say. Now, let me just legitimize that, guys. My grandmother read the Farmer's Almanac, and she would tell you not to plant on certain days. Sounds like superstition, but I saw it in the almanac that she consulted. And I know she was a good Christian, so she wasn't even supposed to be looking at that kind of stuff, I don't think. But how can you help it? It was natural. Farmers, agricultural people since time immemorial have been trying to plot when to grow, when to plant, when to harvest, so they don't lose their crops. And so they had to be in rhythm, patterns. They had to know what was the rainy season, what was the dry season, right? So you had to be in rhythm with the universe, with the weather, with the sun, moon, stars, clouds, that kind of stuff. You had to look up a lot. It makes sense. Now, I tell you how much sense it makes. Let's get down to it. My grandmother did not know what every sailor knows in the military. Every sailor knows there's something in the military referred to as high tide and low tide. Anyone who does boating or shipping knows about high tide, T-I-D-E, and low tide, T-I-D-E. And guess what else they know? Every sailor knows that the tides coincide with certain phases of the moon. The moon, that thing you don't pay much attention to up there. You don't pay much attention to up there. You have to know that there are people who do, farmers, sailors. You are not trained to know that the moon in its certain phases coincides with high tides in the oceans of the world and the waterways of the world and low tides. Now, you don't have to know why. You don't have to necessarily know how it is that the moon up there that you don't pay any attention to, because you ain't into that kind of stuff. You too busy paying bills or whatever. That the moon, you don't have to know why the moon affects the water on Earth, the liquids on Earth. As a sailor, you just need to know if you see a certain phase of the moon, that you're going to have high tides. The water level, the sea level is going to rise. And if you see a certain phase of the moon, that high tide, that sea level is going to lower. You don't have to know this because you don't give a damn about astronomy and astrology. You don't even look up half the time at the sky. But it does have an effect on this earth. That's true. And if you're in the military, if you're a sailor, you know about this. High tide and low tide, the effect that the moon plays on tidal, T-I-D-A-L, waves. And, by the way, if you are female in this world and you've ever had to concern yourself with, and most females have, with their monthly periods, their monthly menstrual cycles, many females, whether they're into astrology, horoscopes, it doesn't matter, whether they're into woo-woo stuff or whether they're just everyday people who don't bother with any of that. Ask a mature woman, any woman, if moon cycles, phases of the moon, have anything to do with their menstrual cycle. Hello? Anybody? Ask a woman who's been around a while if there's a certain thing, it's some kind of connection between moon cycles and phases of the moon and their menstrual cycles. There are many women who will tell you it does. As a matter of fact, I've known women who practice contraceptives on days when they are likely to be fertile or likely to have to get pregnant in days that they're not likely to get pregnant. And so their contraceptive is a moon chart. It's almost like a chart that shows the different phases of the moon. It's also like a chart that shows you when to grow stuff and when not to grow stuff, tide, high tide and low tide. It's the same chart. It just says on this days, you're more likely to get pregnant on other days if you have sex. Yeah, and this person wasn't into horoscopes or astrology. They were into birth control. Only was their interest in the moon. But if you're a farmer, if you're a sailor, if you're a woman dealing with menstrual cycles, you know that the moon, that thing up there that most of y'all don't even pay attention to, has an effect on this planet, on the water on this planet, high tide and low tide, and liquids in general, and on your body. And so, it's not uncommon, guys, for an ancient society who didn't have a separation between their sciences like we do. We got math over here. We got biology over here. We got astronomy over here. And we got another science over there. No. In ancient times, they didn't break their sciences up into different classrooms like that. All right? Different disciplines. Oh, I'm a foot doctor. I don't do eyes. Oh, I'm an eye doctor. I don't do intestinal stuff. You got to go to an specializing. We specialize in sciences. We break them down to little specialties. Well, in ancient times, you didn't make a difference between biology and astronomy. So it only makes sense that if you did not make a difference between the two, that you might have a science called astrology. Astronomy, study of the stars and the planets, etc., and their movement. And biology, the study of the human body, living things on Earth. If you put the two together, astronomy and biology, you get astrology. How the movement of the planets of the Earth affects living things on Earth. The development of astrology is just two sciences, guys. And in ancient times, they didn't divide the sciences in school the way we do. Oh, I'm studying astrology, astronomy. Oh, yeah, well, I'm studying biology. In ancient times, there wasn't a separation. So if you studied astronomy and biology, and you didn't make a separation between the two, you could easily have a science called astrology, astrology, the combination of both. So that's what I'm saying, guys. Astrology is legitimate. It can easily be formed by farmers or people who necessarily had to watch the sky. And sailors who necessarily had to be concerned about high tide and low tides. Right, tides. And so, I give some legitimacy to astrology as just a science developed at a time when people didn't divide the sciences up into little pieces and separate them out into different classrooms and different disciplines. They were just one. There was no biology over here and astronomy over there. A society like that could easily have in astrology. If you didn't separate math and biology, you could have numerology. These are not woo-woo sciences. These are not ancient people just being superstitious. This was a time when there was no argument between the church, religion, and science. They informed each other in ancient times. If you could be easily be a priest and a scientist. And among the Jesuits, this in the early days anyway, this kind of thing was common. And so, but in ancient times, it was definitely common because nobody made the differences between the sciences. And religion didn't fight with science the way it does today. They informed each other. You could be a priest and a scientist at the same time. No conflict. And so, astrology got its basis, guys, for reality. Not horoscopes. We'll get into that in just a minute. And we talked about that already a little bit. But let's hit it one more time. Astrology is a science that naturally developed. Farmers, my grandmama, watching moon phases. Sailors, watching the phases of the moon. Necessarily, some of us have had to look up every now and then. That might be important, guys, only in the sense that there are people who run things in this world who'd like for you to look down like sheep or cattle, that you don't have any business looking up except to pray. You'll get up there when you die. You'll find out what's going on up there when you die and go to heaven. Your job is to look down on the ground like a sheep does or a cow does and not worry about those things up there. Leave those things to religion. There are some who would prefer. You never look up off the earth. That you're never concerned about the moon and the stars and all that stuff. That's irrelevant. You got work to do. You got bills to pay. Those people who don't want you to look up, they do look up. They do know what's going on. Galileo Galilei looked up with a telescope and found out the church had been lying to people. And I said lying because it turns out the church knew what Galileo knew, but they wouldn't tell anybody. Galileo Galilei was kidnapped and held hostage in the Vatican for publishing a book that said that the sun was the center of our solar system and that the earth was not the center, as the church had been teaching that everything went around the earth and we were in the middle. Galileo said, no, I got a telescope here. You can look in there and tell that the sun ain't go nowhere. It's us that's moving around. The sun. The sun is in the center. We live in a solar system, not a geocentric system. And the church arrested him for saying it. Now, he wrote a letter while he was kidnapped. And that letter made its way out to a priest, prince, a friend of his who was a prince, king's son. And this prince published that letter, and that letter said that while the Vatican held Galileo hostage, they told him to quit telling people that the sun was in the center. They said, we know, but the people are not ready to know. Galileo said they proved it. They reached on the shelf of the Vatican Library, and they pulled a book out by Copernicus, Greco-Roman period, long before Galileo. The Greco-Roman period, Copernicus. And the Vatican had this book. And they opened the book up, and they showed them, here's where Copernicus put the sun in the middle, and the earth, and all other planets going around the sun. So we know this. The people ain't ready to know. That's what the church told Galileo. So maybe you're ready to know. If you think you're ready to know, I'm going to give you a little music. And I'll be right back. And we're going to find out what they don't want us to know. We'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. And tonight, guys, we've been talking about astrology, horoscopes, the stars, the signs, and all that good stuff. Now, I told you that I'm not an adherent to horoscopes myself. In fact, they debunk horoscopes by saying, just choose the wrong horoscope one day and follow that and see if that's just like anybody else's. There's no big difference. And again, I told you that the people who do horoscopes will tell you that if you want a personal horoscope, oh yeah, you can't just read the paper. That's a general horoscope. You really need to get down and dirty. You want to find out about your own horoscope. You want to get your own chart and all that. You need personal readings and that kind of thing. So I never had one of those. But astrology, I separate that out from horoscopes, guys. Because my grandmama, who was a Christian, and this religious thing is something else, guys. I'm telling you. My grandmother was a Christian, and they're not supposed to believe in that kind of stuff. But she would not plant a seed in the ground without consulting something called a farmer's almanac. They told her the phases of the moon and the best time to plant based on the stars. She was into astrology, whether she knew it or not. A sailor who's preparing to learn to be a sailor on the seas, on the high seas, all of a sudden has to learn about high tide and low tide. And it dawns on him that the moon affects the tides. Ask any sailor if you don't know about high tide and low tide. And its relationship to something up there in the sky called the moon, something you don't pay attention to one day to the next, don't mean shit to you. But it affects you. Ask a woman about her menstrual period and the moon phases. And most mature women who've been around a while will know the difference, will know the connection. Oh, yeah. And so, Dale, so obviously, at least two celestial bodies that we know of, the sun and the moon, can devastate. Can have tremendous effects on you and the earth you live on. If you're a farmer, you're aware of that. It's par for the course, going to rain. It's par for the course to know the patterns of the seasons, time to plant and a time to reap and a time to sow. All that, all those times are set by the seasons. And how do you know the seasons? You have to look up. You have to judge the weather. And so you're in the sky all the time. And so astrology has some basis. It came in a time when people didn't separate the sciences. And so it was easy to have astronomy and biology, which is separated in our society, to be combined into something called astrology. If you knew the planets, the moon and stuff like that affected human beings and the water levels on Earth, then you took your earth science and your sky science and you combined them into something called astrology. You didn't have a separate classes for people who wanted to study living things on Earth and a separate science for people who want to study the stars in ancient times. So it's easy for them to have had an astrology. They didn't separate math from biology, so it's easy for an ancient society to have had something called numerology. The church and science didn't bump heads in ancient times. They informed each other. As opposed to today, science says one thing, the church says something else. I told you the story of Galileo Galilei, who introduced something that the church didn't want people to know, but they already knew. But they told Galileo, the people are not ready to know. How about that? Are you ready to know? Now, ancient times, astrology had nothing to do with horoscopes, telling your future, fortune telling. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The study of the stars, and you can go to ancient Egypt, and you can go to a place, and you can go to Egypt today, and you can go to a place called Dendera, and you can look up into the ceiling, and you can see all the zodiac signs. That's how far astrology goes back. And we have to admit that the ancient Egyptians knew something. We still haven't figured out how they done the pyramids. We're still working on how they had the tools and the science to do this work. Or whether they were aliens or whatever. I don't know. But we have to admit that these were not stupid people and superstitious people. Stood science. And they understood astronomy as well as biology. As well as architecture. Look at the pyramids. And so I got concerned about astrology, and maybe you should too, I don't know, as I understood that these heavenly bodies up there have an effect on this earth and the people on it. The moon, as I told you, can govern the tides of liquids on this earth, not just the water level in the sea, but the water level underground. See, my grandmother did not explain it to me, why she planted on a full moon. Maybe she didn't understand the science. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, during the full moon, there's high tides. During the full moon, water, liquids on this earth rise. They're pooled or something. They rise. The tides get higher on the beach. And underground, the water level rises. So if you plant your tomato during a full moon, the roots are likely to hit water sooner than they would underground, sooner than they would because the water table underground had risen, just like the ocean had risen under the full moon, just like high tide and low tide, the water level underground rises as well. And so if you plant during that time, the roots are likely to hit water sooner. My grandmother didn't explain that to me, but she wouldn't plant her tomatoes until the right time of the moon, even though she was a good Christian. Now, I pointed out to you how today, of course, religion bumps heads with science all the time. That didn't happen in ancient times. But people still reach out, especially agricultural people from an agricultural society. They still look up and try to read what's going on in the heavens to this day. Maybe you don't. But there's a lot of things that affect your life every day that you don't know about or care about. Maybe you should. Now, I'm going into my call-in section, guys. So let me just relay one little story to you, and I'll wrap this up, that sparks my interest in the stars. And I teach a class. I'm an instructor. I teach a foreign language. And I was teaching that class to some young teenagers, and I happened to mention I happen to mention something about the sun rising and the sun setting, and that's not being true. And that's not true. The sun doesn't rise and set. And do you know these young teenagers looked at me like I was lying to them, like I didn't know what I was talking about or something. That prompted me to stop the class. I was teaching this language, right? I teach Spanish, guys. And so I stopped the class for a minute. And I said, do you guys understand what I just said? That there is no such thing as sunrise and sun. Well, they hear the weatherman say it every day. Well, sunrise at 6 o'clock, sunsets at 6 p.m. So they went through their entire life up to this point, certain that the sun goes up into the sky every day and goes down in the west every night. And they go to school. Public school. So they got so excited, these kids, when I explained to them what's really going on. It almost changed the way they look at the world. Literally, guys. What was dull to them, what was routine to them, you know, morning, night, sunrise, sunset. Nothing there to worry about, nothing there to think about. That's not important anymore. All of a sudden, it became important to them when they found out the truth. I told them that the sun doesn't go up and down in the sky. It seems to, but it doesn't. That day and night occurs because the earth is turning, and it turns away from the sun and back again every 24 hours. You go into the dark side when your little area of the earth goes into nighttime for a few hours. And then when those hours are up, you come back around to where the sun was when you left. The sun didn't go anywhere. It was right there when you got back. We're doing the turning. And they'll say, what? And the kids didn't realize that the earth was doing the day and night, not the sun. If it was up to the sun, it'd be day all day. But the earth turns on its axis every 24 hours, a full turn, and comes back to where it started. And you call that morning. You call that sunrise. But the sun didn't rise. Didn't go nowhere. It's right there where you left it. When the earth turned. Not only that, I told these kids, I had them calculate how fast the earth must be turning in order for it to go all the way around and back again in 24 hours. I said, well, at the center of the earth, it's something like 24,000 miles in circumference around the center of the earth. So 24,000 miles, I told them. How fast do you have to go, miles per hour, to turn around, to make a full turn and come back again in 24 hours? If you were going around a path that was 24,000 miles long. They calculated that you'd have to be going 1,000 miles an hour to make that trip in 24 hours. It blew their minds. These kids didn't know that they were sitting on a piece of ground, an earth, that was spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. They couldn't believe it. The whole world changed for them. It wasn't just some routine sun up, sun down every day, like the weatherman says. Something else was going on that they didn't even realize was going on. And they wanted to test it. How do I know that we move in 1,000 miles an hour? They didn't feel like they were moving at all. In fact, we got into it. I said, well, imagine you're sitting in a car and it's going at 60 miles an hour. You're not moving. You're not walking. You're sitting. But when that car stops, in an hour, you're going to be 60 miles away from where you were, and you didn't move a muscle. So imagine the earth is a vehicle, and you're sitting in that vehicle. No, you might be standing still or sitting there, but the vehicle is moving at 60 miles an hour. And if you don't believe me, have the vehicle that you're sitting in, if you don't have seat, say you don't have your seatbelt on, and the vehicle that you're sitting in stops all of a sudden. The vehicle will stop, but you would continue to move at 60 miles an hour out the windshield, out onto the street, if you don't have your seatbelt on. If you don't think you're moving 60 miles an hour, let the car stop all of a sudden. And you will find that you, the car might stay there, but you're going to keep rolling right out that windshield, right onto that sidewalk, that street. Because you were moving at 60 miles an hour and you didn't even know it. Let that car stop all of a sudden. You'll know it. You'll realize how fast you were moving, even though you were sitting still in a seat. And so we had an interesting class with these kids. And when they walked out of that classroom and they looked up in the sky and the ground that they were standing on, they looked at it from a whole different perspective. The world was not the same for them. It wasn't dull. And every day, up and down, sun going on. It got them excited about the world they live in, the universe they live in, these teenagers. All right, guys. So astrology became important to me because I realized that most of us don't realize the dynamics of what's going on around us. We're talking about going into space. Well, let's face it. The Earth is in space already. We're in space on this vehicle called the Earth. We're in space, and we're going around the sun every year, 12 months. And they didn't know that we were moving. And so they got very interested. And so maybe you should too. Maybe the dynamics of this world that you live in is more exciting and has more to teach you about your day-to-day life than you know. And so we're going into our call-in section, guys. I'm sorry. I'm eating their time up. We got our lines open. Our phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. We're in our call-in section. I'm opening up my chat room. And our chat room will be open. I'll be monitoring my chat. Anybody have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, et cetera, they can put them right there in the chat. And this part of the show I set aside for call-ins, guys. It's your time to shine, I call it. It's your time to shine. Any questions, any comments, anything people like to add or take away, my line's open. Call me. My chat room is open. Write me. This is your part of the show. I'm going to give you a little music. Thank you.
Thank you.
right. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We look at everything that affects our lives. Well, we look at them from a revolutionary point of view. Tonight, we've been talking about astrology, the moon, the stars, the planets, the constellations, all that stuff. And I told you I don't put much store in horoscopes and fortune telling. Because as I look back into ancient times, when I found that even the genius of the Egyptians, the pyramid builders, they even had a zodiac, a full zodiac, with all the signs in their temple in Dendera. You can go and see it today. So it's been around a long time. And it wasn't just superstitious, ignorant people, obviously. And we still can't figure out how they built the pyramids. And so it's been around a while. Some of our presidents, they tell me President Reagan's wife had an astrologer. They tell me Adolf Hitler had his own personal astrologer. So people who are supposed to be in the know out there delve into astrology. And if you look at ancient history, you'll find out that the ancient Egyptians didn't look at astrology for horoscopes, for telling their future. In fact, all of those zodiac signs and constellations and the movement of the stars up there foretold to the zodiac, foretold to the Egyptians about periods of time, arrangements of planets and stars that would allow one to raise one's consciousness. How about that? How about astrology having, in their time, astrology and the movement of the stars related to the rising of human consciousness? We become smarter. We become more aware. We have their periods of time, they said, where the veil would be removed, where we would see more, understand more about the universe and how it works and our origin. And all of that information is available to us. And certain times of the year, that it's certain times, certain arrangements of stars or whatever, was a time of revelation for our consciousness, our understanding, our consciousness of what's going on around us and what's going on in the world, heightened, our Lord. And so they were interested in raising their consciousness. And they thought that certain periods of time would assist that raising of their consciousness, heightening of their consciousness, awareness about the universe in general. It wasn't about horoscopes telling their future. That stuff came later with fortune telling and the like. And so that's what we've been talking about tonight. I don't promote the horoscopes, but I'm going to tell you, watching the stars has been around a long time. I don't know why the Catholic Church kidnapped and held hostage Galileo Galilei when he told the world that we lived in a solar-centered system where the sun was in the middle and the planets went around the sun. He was arrested for saying that. And he wrote a letter while he was captive in the Vatican. And that letter said the church told him that they already knew that we lived in a solar system. And the earth was not the center, as they had been teaching, of the universe, and everything went around the earth. They told him that the people was not ready to know. He said they proved it to him. Galileo said that the church, while they held them in the Vatican, they went to the Vatican library and pulled the book off the shelf by Copernicus, a scientist from the Greco-Roman period. And he showed them in a book that the Vatican already had, he showed a drawing of the sun in the middle, in the center, and all the planets going around the sun. The church already knew. But they said the people were not ready to know. Are you ready to know? What does that mean, that the people are not ready to know? When we will be ready to know? Would we still believe that the earth was the center of everything to this day, if science and religion had bumped heads, if it wasn't for Galileo and his kind? Would the church have revealed to us that, oh no, the center, sun is not in the center? That was wrong. We shouldn't have told you that. The earth is not in the center. The sun is. When were they going to tell us that? Why does religion play down the fact that in Christmas time, we have songs about the three kings that came to visit the baby Jesus? Three magi, they were called, like magicians, magi. These three magi brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gold, frankincense, and myrrh as gifts for a newborn king that they believe had been born in Palestine, in Bethlehem. And the only way they knew it was by a star in the sky. The three kings, the three magi that Christmas time talks about, that brought these gifts to the baby Jesus of gold, myrrh, and frankincense, followed a star to Bethlehem. The star of Bethlehem, have you ever heard of the star of Bethlehem? The star of Bethlehem. Even in the Bible, even the birth of Jesus, there were people following stars. The star of Bethlehem. The three magi. Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. They brought gifts because the star told them the arrangement of the universe, the arrangement of the constellations informed them that a king had been born. That's in the Bible. In the Bible, when the Pharisees, or Job, in Job particular, God asked Job, can you influence, can you change the sweet influences of the Pleiades? What do I mean by that? Why did he ask Job that he had the ability to change the influences? The sweet influences, by the way, quote unquote, of the Pleiades. What the hell is the Pleiades? The Pleiades is the seven sisters, baby. Stars, a constellation in the sky, God is referring to when he asked Job if he had the ability to change the sweet influences of the Pleiades. It's right there in the Bible. When God says, can you change the wheel, the Maserat, Merrazoth, look it up, Mezzanoth, what R-O-T-H, what is a Maserat? Look it up. When God told Job, mentioned to Job the Maserat, what was God talking about? If you look up the word Maserat, it's just going to tell you the 12 signs of the zodiac. Right there in your Bible. There's something about them stars, guys, and them planets and their arrangement that affects your life. Obviously. Every sailor knows the moon affects the water tides. So we know celestial bodies affect this earth and the people on it. In fact, on a full moon, people used to act crazy. On a full moon, they said that even in ancient times, on a full moon, the police will tell you they have more arrests. The emergency room and the hospitals will say they have more entries in the hospital, in the emergency room during a full moon. In ancient times, people who act crazy during a full moon were called lunar ticks. Lunar. A lunar landing is a landing on the moon. Lunar is another word for the moon. So people who behave strangely at a full moon were called lunar ticks. If somebody calls you a lunatic, they're saying that when there's a full moon, you act up. Ancient times, people have known the relationship between the stars in the sky and you and your biology. So there's something to be said, guys, about astrology. I got a little time left here in my call-in section. I'm going to give you a little music. If you got questions or comments, you can put them in the chat. If you got questions or comments, you want everybody to hear, you can call me, and you go straight on to the line. Our phone number is 319-527-6060. Let me give you a little music. We'll be right back. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. Tonight we've been taking a revolutionary look. And I told you in our presentation tonight that in ancient times they didn't separate the sciences the way we do today. You didn't study biology on one hand as one discipline and astronomy on another discipline. No. There was no separation. And if you didn't have a separation between biology and astronomy, then it's easy to see how these civilizations could have had a science called astrology. If you didn't separate math from biology, it's easy to see why these civilizations might have developed a science called numerology. They didn't see the difference between our biology and the universe itself and everything in it. Interesting. How in ancient times, astrology was considered conscious raising periods of universal time. Certain times when the veil would be removed, when more information would come to you about the world and the universe around you. Raising your consciousness was what astrology was about in ancient times, not telling somebody's future, a horoscope. That came later with the fortune tellers and the like. I told you that my grandmother was a Christian, and Christians weren't supposed to be involved in astrology, stuff like horoscopes and stuff. But she wouldn't plant a seed in the ground in her garden without consulting the farmer's almanac. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It tells you the phases of the moon and how they affect your body and how they affect the earth and when the best time to put a seed in the ground. Farmers have always looked to the skies. It made sense. They needed rain. They need to avoid droughts and floods. They've always paid attention to the movement of the weather and the stars and the moon and its effects on their crops. It affects you too, probably. I told you, most women who are mature women will tell you that there is some kind of relationship between the moon phases and menstrual cycles. Maybe some of you men have never heard that. You better ask somebody. So we know that some of these planets out there, and the moon, the sun, for sure, can affect us every day in one way or another, biologically. But most of us don't pay attention to that stuff. We don't even look up off the earth every now and then. I told you how excited I got some young students of mine when I explained to them that the sun didn't go up and down in the sky. And I'm surprised that maybe some grown people out there who should know better, but it ain't your fault. The weatherman is going to use terms like sunrise and sunset every day. After a while, it becomes normal to you to say the sun rises and the sun sets. It doesn't. But what really happens with day and night is exciting. It excited these kids when they found out that day and night is caused by them, by the earth they sit on, spinning around. When they learn how fast it spins. When they learn that they were going around the sun right now. And in 12 months, they'll be back here again. It's a cycle. I told them when they saw a half moon, depicts where the earth was before the moon got there. It's crossing the earth's previous path. That's why we have a half moon. It's crossing where the earth was a week ago, It's just now getting there. And so we see a half moon as it crosses our path, the Earth's circular path. Oh, man, they didn't realize any of this was going on. So it got some kids interested in the Earth and the universe because to them, every day was just another day, another dull-ass day. Sunrise, sunset, big deal. Now, they found out just how big a deal night, day and night was. And it intrigued them even more. And so we did get something out of that. We got some young kids who are concerned now, who are interested now, who know now, who might pick up a book and study the stars a little bit more and the planets and their effect on the Earth. But you don't. Maybe you don't get into that kind of stuff. Tonight, we got into it. We didn't talk about horoscopes very much because that was never, in ancient times anyway, the point of astrology. The point of astrology was consciousness raising, becoming more aware of your status as a living thing on this earth. I told you all the incidents in the Bible where astrology is mentioned. I told you to go look up the word Maserat that's mentioned in Job. Why is God mentioning the Maserat, the M-E-R-R-O-T-H? Look it up. The Maserat will be defined in your dictionary as the 12 signs of the zodiac. Why is God in Job asking Job if he can influence, if he can change the sweet influences of the Pleiades? What's the Pleiades? And why is that in the Bible? And why is God talking to Job about the Pleiades? The Pleiades is the seven sisters. It's a star constellation. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight as our time winds down. We've been talking about astronomy and astrology and biology. Tell the truth, all those things together under something called astrology tonight and its ancient history and its effects and its understanding. I can understand it. Horoscopes I don't know about. But astronomy and astrology, astronomy and biology are connected, obviously. And so it makes sense that there's a science called astrology that mixes the two together. In ancient times, that would make sense. Thanks again. And since we're here every weekday night, Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night dealing with subjects that affect our lives every day, but we look at them from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. But as we make change, we need a little clarity. So we try to keep things clear here and keep our fingers on the pulse around here. And so I want to thank you for listening in. We'll be here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be there, be square. It's a call-in show, and so you will be able to call in at an announcer at a certain time. You'll be able to call in. Or you'll be able to hit our chat room. Chat room will be open as well. Also, if you'll notice, if you're looking at my site, there's a follow sign there. If you hit follow, then you'll be able to get a heads up when we're live, when we're on here at Revolutionary Life. If you hit that follow button, and right next to that follow button is a share button. Perhaps you know someone who's into astrology. Perhaps you know someone who's afraid to get into astrology because it's not sanctioned by their religion or whatever. Well, if their religion is Christian, guys, you can point out some of the things I just mentioned that are in the Bible about astrology. On the other hand, if you think they might be interested in just getting a different tack on it, share this thing with them. There's a share button up there. And keep in mind, all of our programs are archived. And so if you're on my site right now, or if you come to my site, you will see an on-demand section as you scroll down. And so you'll be able to pull up all of those previous presentations as well. All right. I want to thank everybody for listening in, who listened in tonight. And if you missed it, you can catch it on demand. If you couldn't stick around for the whole thing, you can catch it on demand. And about an hour from now, this show will be in that on-demand section. Thank you again for listening to Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. I want to wish you a good evening, a good night, buona notte, buenas noches, and ciao. I'm going to give you a little music, and I'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Arrivederci. I'm going to give you a little music as we go out.